Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. I will also post a couple links below this interview where all of you can follow along with Dana, one being on Twitter and the other being through a subscription service that I highly recommend. Dana, let's start with the U.S. equity markets, because you and I have been talking over the last, let's say about month now, that there's been some improvements in the internals of the markets. That includes breadth. We've continued to see a bit of rotation out of some of the simple handful of high-flying stocks that supported the markets into some of the smaller cap stocks and other sectors, really, that just weren't joining the market's rise because it was being led by such a small number of stocks. How do the markets look right now in terms of what the internals are showing you? Are they bullish or bearish?
Right. Thanks, Corey. Well, I think as we spoke about last time, going into that run-up at the end of August into early September, that was certainly led by a decreasing amount of participation among sectors, among stocks. We were getting some significant breadth concerns, a lack of confirmations among breadth numbers and some of the broader indices. And indeed, we saw, you know, during most of September, we saw a decent sell-off, especially in the most extended areas of the market. But since then, we saw, especially in early October, we saw some significant improvement in terms of the market internals, breadth figures, the amount of the number of sectors participating in the upside and improving themselves on the charts, and significant improvement in some of the broader indices in the small caps and the mid caps, in particular the growth areas of the market, small cap growth, mid cap growth, which both had experienced strong breakouts to all-time highs. So given that the improvement in the internals and on the charts of some of the broader indices, while our model was on the verge for several weeks of turning bearish for the first time since, I think, early April, it's righted itself. It's firmed up. So intermediate term, once we get through some short-term volatility and risk, we're still solidly bullish.
What about sentiment levels? Those have risen to some extremes. On the high end, I realize a sentiment can stay high and that can help continue to drive markets, but usually when sentiment is at some of the levels that we're seeing recently, we do get some sort of a cool down or a pullback.
Yeah, and that's another thing that was extremely elevated into August and early September was investor sentiment got extremely bullish. That was another red flag, prompted us to take some profits, to take some money off the table then. We saw during that pullback in September, we saw sentiment come down, sentiment levels come down, a fair amount, maybe back to the mean or so. Didn't really get oversold necessarily, but in that bounce, in that improvement in the breadth figures, I think that got a fair amount of pub. And I think generated or induced investors back in the market, and we saw sentiment probably jump back up into last week, probably a little more than we would like to see. Got a little bit more heated again across the board from the options market to various surveys that we look at. So investors were a little too quick to jump way back into the market again into last week for our liking. So in the near term, I think that was a red flag, caused us again to pull our horns in a little bit last week into the bounce. But I think this is a near-term risk. I'd like to see sentiment cool off, like you mentioned, a little bit more, see people a little bit more skeptical of the market again, and have some of those areas of the market that broke out, like I mentioned, the small and mid-cap growth areas. Love to see those areas consolidate the recent breakouts, maybe come down, test those breakout levels, and kind of cool off and build up some more potential energy again before the next up leg. So near term, I like to see just things cool off a little bit. And we've seen that this week. We've seen a good start of that.
Okay. Now, Dana, what about volatility too? Because the VIX is still remaining quite elevated for how much of a run these markets have been on. I'm looking at the VIX right now, and it's in the high 27s. Actually, it was right around 30 just a couple days ago, even earlier today. That's telling us that we could see some of that short-term weakness. So it really seems to be showing that as much as the market is still bullish, we do have these signs that say maybe a little pullback into, let's say, the election is maybe necessary.
Yeah, I think along with sentiment, volatility has been the next major source of concern for us. At least what it was telling us was that the stock market's not ready to be off to the races again. We've seen volatility indices on the S&P, on the Russell 2000, and the NASDAQ 100 all hold support levels throughout the rally, even in August, September, and stay above support levels, which again suggested us ready to begin a more sustained move to the upside. There's probably going to be more consolidation, more work, more correcting to be done before a more sustained move. And specifically, we're seeing an interesting signal now and over the last week. Interestingly, we're seeing the bulk of the volatility, excess volatility or elevated volatility readings in the 1 month duration. So we're not seeing as much in the 9 day readings, looking out to 9 days, or in the 3 month readings. It's mostly in the 1 month, and no surprise to us that would be the duration that encompasses the election. So I think investors are hedging themselves with the 1 month volatility readings ahead of the election. They're just waiting to get through that that event in order to before they remove some of that volatility hedge. So interestingly, we did a study in this. We're getting a post to our subscribers out tomorrow. And by the way, if your listeners are interested, I can have them email me. I can I'll be happy to send them a free version, an unlocked version of the post. But it's interesting. What we've seen in the past is when we've seen this excess of volatility in the 1 month area versus the short and longer term, we've seen, but almost invariably in the longer term, in the intermediate term, we've seen solid gains across the board. So once we get through that event, I think we're going to be in better position to put in a nice low and have a more sustainable run. So it's an interesting study, interesting signal, and one that suggests to us that after this near term, you know, risk that we're seeing, those more intermediate term signals that we saw, the strengthening in the breadth and the broader cap measures, that should kick in and help support a more sustainable advance.
Okay. Well, if anybody is interested in that study that Dana conducted, I know there's a premium post going live tomorrow, but he has offered to send that post to all of you, our listeners. All you have to do is either email Dana directly, which I will post his email in this posting, or you can email me directly, fleck@kereport.com. Dana, let's move over to the bond market. Yields continue to creep higher. The 10-year is moving up to almost the 200-day moving average. Now, it's been over 2 years since the 10-year has been above that 200-day moving average. That 200-day moving average is coming down, sloping down at a very quick pace. This rise in bonds, though, it has been, or the rise in yields has been fairly consistent. What are you taking away from that environment?
What we're taking away is that we want to be short bonds. So I don't know what the signal overall is, although we've talked about over the years that the long-term bond bull market has been overdue to top out yields, bottom out, and certainly that blow off that we saw in March is the type of blow off that's worthy of ending a 30-year or 40-year bull market in bonds and bear market and yields. But in the short term, we have been We've been pretty bearish on bonds and expecting higher rates. We've been short bonds for the last month or so, and we're seeing rates starting to rise. So no reason to think that they stop here. In fact, they are hitting some resistance. In our view, we did cover some of our shorts here today as with the 10-year hitting about 82 and the 30-year hitting about that 165 level. But looking looking out longer term, I would not be surprised to see higher rates to come with 185 maybe being the next level in the 30-year. And on the 10-year, looking up above 1%, if I recall correctly, up around that 107 level might be the spot that we've been looking at. So do see after some potential near-term resistance in that yield rise, looking for even further rise to come.
Okay, let's wrap it up with a quick comment on the metals and the dollar, because the U.S. dollar, well, and metals have been quite volatile. U.S. dollar really seems to be testing out some of these lower levels. I know there's a kind of a balanced argument right now between whether the dollar will break down or start to move higher, but some of the technical factors are showing us that dollar breakdown might be more likely to happen. That being said, we're looking at, let's say, the precious metals and gold. Gold just remains volatile and remains in this trading range. It's not so much threatening a same kind of breakout that the dollar is threatening in terms of a breakdown. What's the balance here?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And again, sometimes it's hard to reconcile the two markets, which is why we tend to analyze each market on its own merits and not worry about holding some precious metals if the dollar is rallying and wondering, scratching our head and selling it because we, you know, it doesn't make sense. We're going to go with what's buying what's going up and staying away from what's going down. So I would say on a technical basis in the dollar, certainly in a intermediate term downtrend, which it has been, we have been looking and did have a counter trend bounce really last month. We've been looking for more of a counter trend bounce in the dollar up towards maybe that 96 level in the U.S. dollar index. But just over the last 2 days, we've seen a potential breakdown in support, which would open up further downside here in the near term. Which on the surface would be great for precious metals. But the funny thing about technicals is that, you know, gold and silver, gold miners, we are bullish in the long term. In the short term, they're all set up with potential bear flags and running into resistance and looking vulnerable in the near term to further downside despite what's going on in the dollar. So it might not make sense. And it might be hard to reconcile the two, but we are still bullish in precious metals in the longer term, but see some risk still in the near term. We're not loaded up like we have been at times in the past. And despite what might be going on in the dollar with a potential break of support here in the near term.
All right, Dana, we're going to wrap it up there. I appreciate all of your comments. And again, I appreciate you offering our listeners the posting that is scheduled to go live tomorrow for your premium subscribers. Again, just email Dana or myself, and we will set you up with that posting for you to read up. Dana, great chatting with you, buddy. Have a great rest of your week. I'll chat with you in another couple weeks.
Thanks, Corey. Always a pleasure.